Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As they talked about these things, Jesus stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." And as I've said to you many times before, whenever a reading starts that way, whenever a reading starts with something like, as they talked about these things, and then it just kind of leaves me hanging, I have to ask, what things? What things, what were the things that they were talking about, the 11, when Jesus came? Today again, we find ourselves talking about the disciples as they hid behind locked doors. But we just talked about that a week ago. Do we really need to rehash that same old thing all over again? Or perhaps is there more that can be learned here in these events? For me, as I began my studies this week, for me, I found at least a couple of things that I needed to get straight in my mind about that night. Our gospel reading begins with the disciples talking about these things. And then Jesus right away adds to that by talking about, "These are my words." So I had to ask myself, what were the things that the disciples were talking about? And is that connected to the words of which Jesus spoke? So as I began my studies this week, I was compelled to find out what they were talking about. What were the things? What were the these things that they were talking about? And then as I thought a little bit longer, I remember several weeks ago, as I planned for today working with the worship committee, I remember thinking to myself at that time, why do we skip right over talking about the two men who walked the road to Emmaus? Just to consider again the disciples as they locked themselves behind locked doors. But as I studied, I realized that we didn't need to talk about the men who walked the road to Emmaus because that's, well, their experiences are the things of which the disciples spoke when Jesus appeared. They were talking with these men about their experiences. The things of our gospel reading today place, well, they took place the evening of that first Easter. Jesus had risen. I snuck that one past the early service, but I did really, in fairness, I read it pretty quickly. There you go, Teddy, good job. So Jesus had risen. The 11 disciples hid themselves. And two men filled with sorrow and bewilderment walked the road to Emmaus. And all that was going on all at the same time. These men had hope. Well, actually, all of them had hoped that Jesus was the one that God would send and had sent to redeem Israel. They had heard the message of the women who went to the tomb earlier that day, only to find the stone rolled back and Jesus missing. And these men who walked the road, they were troubled and they were puzzled by the women's report of visions of angels. Angels that said that Jesus was alive. And so as they walked, well, they walked on in bewilderment, not knowing what else to do because their Lord was gone, or so they thought. But it was no vision, no mere vision of angels. Jesus had indeed risen as he said he would. And so while the others hid themselves behind locked doors, Jesus caught up to those two men. And though they did not yet recognize him, he met them where they were. He addressed their fears and he answered their questions. And though they did not yet recognize Jesus, he told them that the cross and the empty tomb were just as he had planned. He reminded them, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, that all the scriptures speak concerning him and salvation through him. When the day of the first evening was far, or the first Easter was far spent, the two men asked Jesus if he might stick around, that they might talk more over supper. And Jesus agreed, and when they were at table, Jesus took the bread, he broke the bread, and when he gave it to them, well, he blessed it, and he gave it to them. At that very moment, the Holy Spirit opened their mind's eye, and they recognized Jesus, and he left them. He left them because there were still others. There were 11 others locked behind doors in fear and uncertainty. These men who walked the road to Emmaus, they turned right around and they headed back to where the 11 were. They brought news of their Jesus sighting, if you were, to the disciples. These are the things that the 11 talked about when Jesus came and stood among them. And the words of which they spoke are the things to which Jesus referred when he said, "These are my words I spoke to you while I was with you. These are the things I told you before they would happen, so that when they did happen, you'd be ready for it." I'm paraphrasing a bit there. Then just as he had done to those two men, or for those two men who walked the road to Emmaus, so also Jesus did for the disciples. "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then just as he had done for those two, he also did for those who hid themselves. He gave them his spirit. He opened their minds, the minds of the 11, to understand the scriptures about the Savior, so all the scriptures. Last week's readings taught that seeing is not believing, but rather that believing is seeing. So if believing is seeing, how does one believe that one might see? These things are the reasons that we weren't quite finished talking about the disciples hiding for fear of the Jews. Today's gospel teaches that hearing is believing. Jesus said, "These things, these words I told you before they happened, when they happened, that when they happened, you would believe. See the nail marks in my hands. See my feet. You saw this body of mine crucified." I imagine him motioning to himself. "You saw this body crucified. Let not your hearts be troubled at the sight of me. What you see standing here before you, these things are my words that I spoke while I was still with you. Thus it is written, Christ must suffer, and on the third day rise from the dead, that forgiveness should be proclaimed to all the nations in his name." Death and the grave could not hold him in, and no locked door could hold him out. But seeing the empty grave did not bring them faith. Even seeing Jesus again standing before them didn't bring them faith, but only caused their hearts to be troubled. Only after the risen Jesus breathed words of peace to you did the words he had spoken before begin to make sense. Only when given the Holy Spirit did they realize how so many dotted lines in the life of the Savior actually pointed to and intersected at this very point where the risen Lord burst into the room, even though the doors were locked. The disciples hiding behind locked doors has, well, their experience, their behavior actually, has been compared by some to someone standing on the sidewalk outside the church. They see the... Have you ever wondered why we have stained glass windows beside the fact that they're just pretty? The disciples' behavior, their hiding themselves, has been described as someone standing out on the sidewalk. They see the colored stained glass windows that adorn this sanctuary and many others, depicting the unique life of Jesus, but they see it only from the outside. The colors are darkened. The language that they're supposed to proclaim of the language is obscured. But by the words of the gospel, the words Jesus had spoken while he was still with them, only by these things that they talked about when Jesus stood among them, only then did these images spring to life and take on sight and even speech from the inside. These things are designed to tell a story. And as I pondered this week, I had to come in here and just kind of look. And whoever put this together is pretty ingenious, because it goes from the day of creation all the way up to, well, we've got "He is risen." Hallelujah. Nice job. You caught me. But if you can see the stained glass, maybe you can't behind it. You've got the crown of thorns, Jesus suffering. You've got the cross, Jesus' death. And then you've got a crown a very beautiful crown. What's that all about? Jesus' glorification. He is king over all. So starting in the back, a beautifully repaired depiction of God's creative hands and the 6 days of creation. If you take the time and just look at that thing and pick it apart. On your right side over here toward the back, Noah's Ark. I love Noah's Ark. That's kind of a neat picture, but why is it there? The image of God's salvation for sinful mankind floating upon the floodwaters of God's wrath. Near the ark, on the same side, the tablets of God's commandments, the things that teach us how to love God, the things that also point us to the Savior when we fall short, over on your left toward the back. The scroll, the law, and the prophets that the readings talk about today that point us to the stable of Bethlehem in that case, the place where the Son of God was born because there was no room for him in the inn. Toward the front over here, the Holy Spirit on your left also, descending from heaven that John the Baptist might see and know that Jesus is the one promised, the one whose sandals John was not worthy to untie. A little bit more towards the front on that side, the crosses of Calvary, where creation protested with darkness and flashes of lightning and crashes of thunder, protesting that the Creator should die a criminal's death. The empty tomb. The angel who first proclaimed that Jesus had risen. The symbols of the Alpha and the Omega up here in the corner. That proclaimed that Jesus, the very Son of God, had come from the eternity of the Father to share just for a little while on this earth with the lives of these disciples that you and I might also hear. These are the things that were troubling the disciples' hearts when Jesus came and stood among them because they were puzzling. It didn't add up that all that pointed to him and then he should die. So he'd help them. These are the things Jesus had spoken them while he was still with them. See my hands and my feet. It is I myself. And then he invited them to touch him. He is real. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, just as Jesus spoke these words to his disciples, so also this day he speaks these words and has spoken these words to you. So also this day, by the means of the sacrament of Holy Communion, Jesus invites you to touch him and see. Touch him and see. See what kind of love the Father has for us, that he has called us children of God. And so you are. And that's why in a little bit we will sing, God loves you dearly. God loves you dearly. And while you're singing, I'll sing, God loves me dearly. Loves even me. He loves even you. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. I invite you to please stand as we confess our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed.